Welcome to another broadcast of Help Relationships 102 with your host, myself, Pastor Lewis Green. It's good to be with you today, wishing you a great afternoon and thanking you for joining me today. Before we get too deeply into anything, I want to mention, please like us on our Facebook page and maybe even leave a comment. Our address there is Help Relationships 102, remembering that there's no exclamation point at the other end of Help, as it is here on Blog Talk Radio. We've been talking about an issue that is so critical to the person that we are and will become. It is the heart of all things, on both spiritually, naturally, and everything that could be or would be, is directly linked to this very critical issue. And we're going to probably continue this next week. There's so much more to say about it. We've scarcely scratched the surface. You know, we'll pray and see if the Lord allows for that. But there's so much to be said that has been yet left unsaid. And so I want to open up another aspect of this self-worth issue, this identity issue. Most people base their sense of self-esteem on what they can see or what they can hear. What I mean is, if people like you or people love you, then we tend to base our sense of self-worth on our interaction and our relationship with others, whether it be our relationship with our parents, our friends, our siblings, and even our peer groups. And often, it's what we hear and receive from them that we allow the opinions of others and our relationship with others to shape how we perceive ourselves and how we see ourselves. And anything we could do or fail to do, the heights that we soar or don't soar, is directly related to the input that we've gained from our relationships from the days of our early youth up until today. And the Lord would have you to think differently. As the Bible said, old things are passed away when you get saved and all things become new. But it also says that we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so everything that God would give us lives within us. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives on the inside of me. And so now it's a matter of attuning my soul to line up with my spirit, attuning me to line up with God, attuning my thinking to line up with His thinking. And God does all things by faith. He does things in terms of faith. And His relationships, His faith is at the center of it. His creative prowess, His faith is at the center of it when you look and see who the Lord is. And He wants me to learn to also walk by faith. Now, the thing about faith is we walk by faith and not by sight. So we make decisions based on what He says and on what He's saying and not based on what we can see with our natural eye or sense with our natural five senses. And this is what makes a Christian spiritual when he learns to make decisions and to live in the system of walking by faith, and where you look, think, see, perceive things that are not based in the natural. And so what does that mean exactly? What that means is everyone, your self-esteem is based on your relationships, your successes and failures, your gifts and talents or lack thereof. And all these things that we can see, touch, feel, have served to shape how we see ourselves. And how we see ourselves is important. As we discussed in yesterday's broadcast, Abraham walked with God, walked with the Father, by faith, believing God was going to give him a child. And it wasn't until the last year, 3 months into having a name change, an identity change, that the Lord was able to deliver Abram, the very promise wherewith He promised him 25 years ago. And He said it was going to be at the appointed time, He told Abram in the 24th year, on the appointed time I'm going to come back, and this time next year you're going to have a son. And the Lord knew that the appointed time would be during the time that He was to change Abram's name to Abraham. And so Abraham waited for some 24 years for the Lord to send forth the child. And God said, when He came, He said, I'm going to return to you at the 24th year, at the appointed time. Because the Lord knew at that time He was going to change Abram's name to Abraham, which made all the difference in the world. It was how Abram received himself. It's almost like the Lord will actually hand the blessing from heaven, but I still have to receive it by faith. And Abram felt unable to receive it until he was Abraham, until he saw himself as someone able to receive it, someone worthy of walking in it. And so even though the father said that you're worthy, it's not until his identity changed. And the name change, of course, brought on Abram's identity change. He began to see himself. His name was now Abraham, which means father of many nations, which was the promise that the father gave Abraham. And so 3 months of being called that, he began to see himself as that. And so what the Lord had offered some 24 years earlier, Abram was able to receive now that he saw himself as someone able, worthy to receive. And this is a very critical issue because many of you, even now, are believing God and having faith that God's going to heal you, that God's going to deliver you, that God's going to deliver unto you a promise. But you don't see yourself as the person that can receive that promise. You don't see yourself worthy or able. You don't see yourself as that person. And so a lot of times the Lord will walk with us in desert times to begin to develop and redevelop how we perceive ourselves. The Bible says that all things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. But it says that we can't receive that transformation until we renew our minds. We learn to begin to think differently. We begin to discover who we are, until we begin to get an idea as to who we are and how we see ourselves. Because as we also talked about the children of Israel, when God sent spies into the desert, into the promised land to receive the promise, they said when they saw the giants, he says, we were as grasshoppers in their sight and in our own. And so the reason they could not receive the promise was because of how they saw themselves. They saw themselves unable, impudent, barren, weak, unworthy. So God was offering the promise, but because of the way they saw themselves, they could not receive it. Who sees himself in that position? You know, the Lord has sent all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. But some of you have failed so much that you believe yourself to be a failure, and you can't be a success. Now, I want to call your attention to the way the Lord would have us to deal with that. And I want to call your attention to a certain Shulamite woman who was married to Solomon. And as you know, Solomon was wed to some of the most beautiful women in the world. In fact, Solomon had, the Bible says, 700 concubines. Those are just women that you have sex with, really hot women that you had sex with, and 300 wives. And so he was acquainted intimately with at least 1,000 women. And so prominent among these women was a certain Shulamite woman. And she's interesting because she begins to speak of herself. And she said that, and one of the statements I love about herself that she made, she said, I'm dark, but I'm comely. And being dark-skinned carried a connotation to it back then, even as it does today. For those of you who are African-American, even within the African-American community, light skin and dark skin has a connotation to it, even a stigma. But watch how she addressed herself. She said, I might be dark, I might be black, another translation says, but I'm still hot. Now, she shows us how she perceives herself, because that's all self-worth really is. It's really about how you see yourself. And learning to not see yourself or judge yourself based on what others have said to you. She said, my brothers teased me. Okay. She did not make an assessment about her worth based on life's experience like so many of us has. And God wants the basis of our discernment and our perception of ourselves to be rooted in faith. Not what would people say, but what God says. Not what circumstances say, but what God says. Not what life experiences say, but what God says. Not with the tragedies and the victimizations and the failures that we may have wrought in this life, but what God says, by faith. And the special quality about faith is, it's rooted in what God says. It's not rooted in what you can see, feel, or touch, but it's rooted strictly by what God says. You believe what God says. And so faith is a matter of making up your mind and allowing the Lord to build and even rebuild your sense of self-esteem based on what God says about you and believing that. it will make all the difference in your world. Now, this Shunammite woman, she had to compete with the most beautiful women in the world. And she did so successfully. She didn't have all the tools. She said, I'm dark. I know it. I don't have nice skin, but I'm still hot. And God says, consider her example for your own life. Because even though she did not have, she was not socially beautiful, because she settled her self-worth and self-esteem issues, because she settled them, she was able to compete with even the most beautiful women in the land. And interestingly enough, she says, hey, this is her attitude, I'm hot. Hey, I know I'm dark-skinned, but I've got it going on. I know I'm dark-skinned, but I'm blessed. Some of you may say, hey, I know I'm overweight, but I'm blessed. Hey, I know I'm underweight, but I'm blessed. Hey, I know I'm not that tall, I'm not that strong, I'm not that rich, but God has blessed me. And you look at yourself as blessed. And you choose not to dwell on what you don't have. It's important that you acknowledge what you don't have, that some total of yourself is you're blessed, you're hot, you're the man God gave you that. Now watch. Let's look at the Shunammite woman's life. She said, I know I'm dark, but I'm still hot. And when Solomon talks about her, he says, there is no flaw in thee, O flawless one. Okay. And so in his mind, he could not see her flaws because she had settled it in her heart. She'd settled her identity and who she was in her heart. She had accepted herself, shortcomings and all, and looked at herself as a glass half full and not half empty. She did not major on the negatives. She majored on the positive. And as she saw herself, that permeated from her life. So that even the other ladies whom were Solomon's other wives, with whom she was in competition, they had to admit that she was hot. Now, you know how catty women are. You know, I laugh sometimes when you look at those Miss America pageants, and somebody wins and all the other ones are kind of crying and supporting her. You and I know that those women are not crying because they're happy for that lady that won. You know how women are. Women are more competitive than men are. They cry because they lost. Okay. And so these competitive women had to say, you know something, you are something. And because she had settled herself, she didn't enter into the realm of competition, and they could see the best about her. But whether they could or not, she settled it within herself. And this is the importance of settling who you are within yourself by faith. Acknowledge your weakness, but finish it with a nevertheless. It's like Jesus when he went to Gethsemane. He said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass. But nevertheless, not my will, but you will be done. So he acknowledged what was going on in his flesh, but he finished it in faith. He finished the thought in faith. Finish your thought in faith. Finish your opinion of yourself in faith. Finish your perception of yourself in faith. It's something you have to make up your mind to do. It's something you have to determine within yourself to do. Oh, I may be poor. I may not have a lot of money, but I'm still the man. God made me blessed. I may not be beautiful, but God has blessed me. I'm still hot. I'm still got it going on. But there will be something about you. But because it's rooted in faith, it doesn't matter whether or not some people see it. Because some people won't see it, but others will. Come on, there'll be people that do see it. And even those that say they don't, you settle it within yourself. It won't matter to you whether they do or not. Once you settled it within yourself, it's when you're fighting the war of trying to figure out who yourself, and you're trying to identify in the natural and trying to identify in the flesh and trying to identify in things of this earth, that you will find that when people say something negative about you, or they're insulting to you or disrespectful to you, that it will hurt you. But if you settled it, that you are fine. You acknowledge your weakness, but you're finishing the thought in faith. You're finishing your perception of yourself in faith. You're seeing yourself as the glass half full and not half empty. Come on now, somebody. We can learn a whole lot from that Shunammite woman. And God is saying the same thing to you. Now watch the way that God works now. God says that his grace is made perfect in weakness. You will find that special something about yourself if you stop trying to identify in the flesh. What do I mean by that? someone says, because I'm not as educated, because I'm not as prominent in the community, because I'm not as beautiful, because I'm not as intelligent, because I'm not as gifted, and they begin to be down on themselves, or they are down on themselves. And really, a person that's depressed or overconfident are signs that their eyes are on themselves and they're trying to take confidence in the flesh. The person that's arrogant is taking confidence in the flesh and he's taking confidence in his gift, but the person that's depressed looks upon himself and is trying to measure himself by his weakness. So he's still looking at his flesh and found himself wanting. No, God says, I want you to settle in your mind based on what you believe. This is what makes you different than the people in the world. Yes, acknowledge your weakness. I may be skinny, I may be fat, I may be short, I may be too tall, my nose may be big, my skin may be too dark, but I'm still hot. I'm still the man. I'm still blessed. God has blessed me. He will reveal himself to you, and he will reveal himself in you, and you will see that God wants your sense of self-worth established in faith, okay? And remember when I say you walk by faith and not by sight. When the Lord is in the process of bringing you to this place, at first you'll be tempted to walk by sight, and you'll find a difficult time finding the faith. See, you accept that God blessed you, that God made you enough, that you are in fact more than enough, and you accept that by faith. You root that back on you being fearfully and wonderfully made, that the gifts he's given you is enough, and that he's made you more than enough, so that you're not looking at yourself apart from your faith in God, so that you can see yourself with a clear mind and not through the dynamic of social beauty, social success, but what is acceptable in society. But you're looking at yourself through the eye of faith. You trust that God did not make you second rate, that God did not make you a less than, that God has given you more than enough, and that you are enough. And you take that not based on what you see as you are stuck in the place of seeing the glass as half empty, but you look at it based and rooted in trusting who God made you, the gifts he's given you, and those that he has not, okay? All of your gifts, all of your talents, everything he gives you will all be brought to bear as you begin to walk by faith, or try as you may to believe God what he will do for you. It won't be until you trust who he has made you and you learn to accept that. And learning is not a long time thing. Abram accepted he was Abraham within a 3-month period. It's a making up your mind as to who you are. The Bible says to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, or in the attitude of your mind. Sometimes you have to take on the attitude that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you are seated with Christ in heavenly places, that you are the head and not the tail, that you are more than enough. You have to take on that, all these things in Christ Jesus. And as you begin to make up your mind, say you begin to proclaim it to yourself by faith. You don't ignore the weakness, because if you do, you'll find yourself running from your weakness and glorying in your strengths, which will set you up into being abased, which carries you into a lifetime of highs and lows, of being elevated and exalted and abased. But you acknowledge your weakness, but you trust what God has done in your life, and the gift mixture that he has made in you is enough, is more than enough, that you are more than enough in him, not apart from him, that him in you and you in him is enough. And God will teach you as you allow him to establish that within yourself, and in no time flat. In the same way that Abram learned that when he became Abraham, all those promises that God gave you will begin to chase you down, begin to hawk you down, and begin to tackle you, okay? There won't be things that you have to obtain or strive after. They're already given to you, but the Lord wants you to allow him. He needs you to allow him to establish your sense of self-esteem fitly within your heart. And it's done by faith, not by sight. It's not done by what you can see with your natural eye, but it's done by what you can perceive with the mind of your spirit, with the eye of your spirit. And so God is saying, trust me that I've made you enough. I love you. And let me tell you something. Whenever there's a weakness, the Bible said that within the body, that those who are less comely, those who are less attractive, God gives more grace to, so that there's no schism in the body. So the head can't say to the toes, I have no need of you. So God will allow a grace. So if you have a weakness in your life, that's a sign that there's an abounding grace to make up the difference. And some of you haven't found that abounding grace yet because you've been identifying in your weakness or trying to identify in your strengths. You identify with neither. You make up your mind that your identity is rooted and grounded in Him. You are seated with Him in heavenly places. You no longer perceive yourself apart from who lives in you and whom you live in. You are not an I anymore, you are a we. In the same way of the Trinity in the book of Genesis, God said, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. See, it's not me anymore, it's us. It's not you anymore, it's y'all. Because you cannot look at yourself anymore apart from Him in you and you in Him. Identify with that, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And once you accept that, and it's a matter of accepting, it's a matter of making up your mind to believe it. I always say, we don't always have a choice in what we do, but we always have a choice in what we believe. That's why in the final day, we're being held accountable based on what we believe or have chosen to not believe. And the Lord is asking you to believe this. If you trust Him that He's made you enough. Now, if you compare yourself with others, you're going to find yourself wanting, because you're in a class all by yourself. When God is finished with you and you've fully let Him in, you will learn that you're in a class all by yourself. You can't be compared to the people around you. The Shulamite woman could not be compared to the people around him. She may not have been able to compete with them socially, compete with them in social beauty, but she had that something special that made her beautiful beyond 1,000 women, 1,000 most beautiful women of that day. She was able to compete based on what God gave her. Come on now. You know, the Bible says that before Jesus came, that Elijah would have to come. Now watch this. That before Jesus could come, the Bible said that Elijah had to come. But we later find out that John the Baptist went in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Isn't that something? So Jesus referred to John the Baptist as Elijah because the Bible said he went in the same spirit and in the same power. Well, that's odd to me, because if you read about Elijah and you studied his life, you'll see that boy moved in miracles. He didn't do much preaching. He let miracles talk for him. Well, John the Baptist, who supposedly moved in the same power, the Bible said he did no miracle, he did no great work, but he preached. Well, how can John the Baptist move in the same spirit and power of Elijah when he couldn't do nay a miracle, when all he did was preach? Now, because he may not have moved in the same fashion, but he moved in the same flavor. The end result was the same. The nation was moved to repentance in an unprecedented fashion. And so if John the Baptist, if he looked at himself and said, okay, I'm supposed to be Elijah, and he began to try to focus on doing miracles, he never would have found who he was. And Jesus said this, born of woman, there's no prophet greater than John the Baptist, saying that John the Baptist was greater than even Elijah. Now, in his mind, if he began to try to move in miracles like Elijah did, because after all, he was gone in the spirit and the power of Elijah, he never would have found that he was in a class all by himself. And all he could do was preach, but God moved on that gift and made up the difference in unprecedented fashion. And so as long as you're comparing yourself to others, you'll never find that class that you're supposed to be in that's all by yourself. As long as you're comparing yourself, you'll never be able to truly find yourself. You'll begin to find yourself as you begin to accept yourself and accept by faith that God has made you enough, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you are a child of destiny, a person of greatness, that God has a special and unique plan, that you are in fact in a class all by yourself. But if you're comparing the way you do things to the way others do things and you attempt to try to do it the way they do it, you will never find yourself. You begin to find yourself by first off accepting who you are by faith. Yes, I may not be a great preacher, but I'm still a teacher. God has made me comely. God has made me hot. God has made me the man. God has still blessed me. You may not do it the way it's been done. You may not do it the way other people do it. But God is saying that I put you in a class all by yourself. You cannot be compared to anyone else. It would be like comparing apples to oranges or oranges to bananas. And so as long as you're looking outward, you'll be judging by sight and not by faith. God says, I want you to take my word on it that I have made you, I have fearfully and wonderfully made you, that I've made you special. You may not be an apostle, but I've made you a prophet. You may not be a prophet, but I've made you an evangelist. You may not be an evangelist, but I've made you a pastor or a teacher or an artist or a musician, or I've made you a dancer. Stop trying to do what you see others doing successfully and find you. And the first step in finding yourself is to learn to make up your mind about yourself and to accept yourself. Hey, I may not have this gift, but I'm blessed. I may not have that gift, but I'm blessed. I may not be able to do this, but I am blessed. I may be dark, but I am comely. I may be overweight, but I'm still beautiful. I may not be educated, but I'm still intelligent. Who knows what I'm talking about? God is saying to look at yourself through the eye of faith. Trust him that he knew what he was doing, what he made you. All those desires to be someone unique and special and to aspire to great things, God put that in you. But the path to that is not by any other path taken before. There's a unique path that is special and unique as unto yourself. And the Lord is saying that I will show it to you if you let me. Oh, come on, somebody. All right, time has gotten past us. But I want to remind everyone, please like us on our Facebook page at Help Relationships 102, remembering that there's no exclamation point at the other end of help as it is here on Blog Talk Radio. So until the next time, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. This is Pastor Lewis Green wishing you a great afternoon and God bless.